You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 118. My guest today on the show is Adelaide, with a dream for me to interpret. And in case this is the first show you've listened to, I do have to say that the process that we follow is that we arrange to have a guest. I know nothing about the dream. We phone or Skype the dreamer, and we record the conversation. So what you're about to hear is what we have just actually finished recording. And then I go back on and we put on the beginning of the show and we put on the end of the show. So you hear me hearing for the first time the dream. And so you're right in there at the process of what happens in a dream session. You hear Adelaide describing her dream and you hear me interpreting it, asking her questions. You hear the whole process. And along the way, you not only learn some insights that you can from Adelaide that you can apply in your own life, but of course you pick up lots of tips about interpreting your own dream and about how to maybe help other people to understand their dreams. After we've interpreted Adelaide's dream and she affirms how it relates to her life and what insights she's got from having the dream interpreted, we then of course go ahead and do the dream alchemy practice. So all that is ahead. You'll hear all of that. We actually went to France today. Well, we didn't. Michael and I sat here in Brisbane, Australia, but Adelaide was in France. So that was our hookup this week. You'll love the dream. You'll love what comes out of it. And of course, before we go there, we have to do the website. So the website addresses that we would love you to go and visit are all mine. This is not advertising. This is just telling you where you can go to find out more stuff like this. You can go to www.dream.net.au. to find a lot more free resources on dreams. And it's also where you can go, of course, to go to our shop, to buy books, to buy ebooks, mine, you know, that I've written. And it's also where you can go to find out how to consult me privately and confidentially yourself, either by Skype, by phone, or by email. It's also where you go if you want to be a guest on the show and have your dream interpreted for free. The benefits of doing that is, of course, is that you provide a wonderful example of dream interpretation for all our listeners like you to take into their lives. So it's a wonderful gift when someone steps forward to be a guest on the show, and that's something that you too might like to consider doing. So www.dream.net.au. or my blog at www.janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Or find me on Facebook. Or, of course, our actual podcast blog, which is thedreamshow.com. There's no W's in that. It's just thedreamshow.com. Now, oh, it's not. Michael's just informed me. It's actually thedreamshow.tv. Well, there you go. It's thedreamshow.tv. And that's, I also have to remind you that, of course, you don't always have to go to thedreamshow.tv to listen to these shows. You don't have to go to dream.net.au to listen to these shows. You can, of course, go to iTunes or your equivalent and subscribe and get all these shows come to you for free just because you've subscribed to them. So if you're on iTunes, of course, you know how to do that. That's enough of that. On with the show. Let's go to Adelaide. Enjoy. Welcome to The Dream Show, Adelaide. How are you?
I'm good. Very good. Thank you.
And I think it's your Sunday morning there in France.
Yeah, it's very early in the morning. Not very early, but early enough for me.
Have you had your coffee?
I had it 5 minutes ago, so my voice was sleeping still, but, you know.
Now, have you got a dream from last night, or is this from a few days ago? What have you got?
It was a dream from a few days ago, 2 weeks, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so for some reason I was in a big campus, really looking more like the States, those kind of huge campus that they can have there. And I was sitting there with a friend studying when one of my old friends from childhood came to talk to me, and she was asking me question and shouting my name from a distance. So I stood up to go toward her, and when I did so, I realized that one of her friends was trying to steal something in my bag, my phone actually. And it got me really upset. So I started shouting at her, telling her that, really basically giving her my mind and telling her that she was always doing everything to attract attention on herself, you know, I was quite hard on her. And telling her basically that she would do anything to attract attention and using me, for example, being naughty to me would be a good way to do it. You know, like people tend to take use somebody as, you know, to make themselves look better.
Mm.
And so I was the person that she was using. So I was really hard on her. And she started to cry and say, yeah, that's true, I do that. And I'm sorry, I've been horrible to you. And when she cries, for some reason, I decide that she needs to be helped out. And therefore, I start walking very, very fast into the building, up to the second floor, and I cross one of the rooms, one of the school rooms, and I go to the windowsill, and she's running after me. So I'm facing her, and my back is my back is facing, well, the other side of the window, so the nothing, basically. And she's talking to me, and I just walk backward, and I fall from the second floor.
Mm.
Everybody thinks I'm dead, which I'm not. And the funny thing is that when I kind of wake up, I'm not lying on the grass where I should be, technically. I'm in a really small room, like basically the room where you would put the brooms and, you know, a cleaning room.
Mm.
And so I'm there, and a cat, which is really looking much like my cat, comes and starts licking me, which is what wakes me up a bit, like in a Catwoman style. and then, so that's the first part. And then I move on. I leave the campus through a back door because I don't want anybody to see me. I still think that everybody thinks I'm dead and that I'm going to give them a heart attack if they see me. So I walk through a back door, and I arrive in a very, very poor suburbs with very few shops, all closed. It's very, you know, just homeless people there, and it's very like, it's like a dead area. No life, nothing's going on. And I go to one of the houses there. The house is falling apart, and there's a real estate agent, a very nice, good-looking blonde girl, and she's asking me, are you sure you really want this house? And I'm standing there with who seems to be like a very old friend of mine, who's a homeless guy, properly homelessly looking, if I can say that. Long hair, the beard, the clothes are ripped off. And then as we walk in and everything is falling apart inside, the walls are, there's holes in the walls, and it's very crappy, if I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And we just decide that we love it and we decide to move in. And, that's where I wake up.
That's where you wake up. Oh, wow. And when you say that you loved it, did you have that feeling of, oh, we would live in this exactly as it is with the holes in the walls and everything? Or was it like, oh, we love this, we could do things with this?
No, it was really like we're going to leave it like that and not even thinking of buying furniture. I think we were going for sleeping on the floor. And because I remember there was just in the kitchen, there were just like a half broken glass or stuff like that. And we were planning on using that.
The half broken glass.
not even buying any cutlery or anything, just doing really what's in the house.
Oh,
much.
Fantastic. And you were really happy with that thought.
I was really very happy with it, yeah.
I love it. I'll just ask you a few questions. In that, when you got to part two of the dream and you said you met the homeless guy friend, that was actually someone you knew in waking life in the past, was it?
No, not somebody. In my dream, I felt like I really knew him for a long time, but not in my life.
Okay, that's good. That's really good. And just one more question. At the beginning of the dream, you know, when you met the old childhood friend, that was someone from life?
Yeah, that's an old friend of mine, yeah.
And when what year did you last see her?
Oh, a few years ago. She moved away from France and we lost touch, but... We never had any argument or anything, but I haven't seen her for a while, for a good 5 or 6 years, I would say.
5 to 6 years. And if you could pick 3 words to describe her personality or her approach to life, what would they be?
She was very lovely. She was very lovely. She had lots of problems and she was really always looking on the bright side, so it was very good. Mm-hmm. She wasn't very good at keeping in touch, which is why we didn't.
Oh, right.
And,
yeah.
And she was a bit, she had a low self-esteem, so which made her make sometimes the wrong choices, I would say.
Mm. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Because, you know, right, you've got the dream opening up and you're on this campus, which is a bit like in the States, you said. Have you lived in the States yourself?
Never, I've never been there.
You just have the feeling that's what a campus in the States is like.
What
made you think that?
Just from TV and shows, you know, it was very much like... Yeah, you look what like stuff you see on TV shows, you know, just being American.
Mm. So what's the difference between an American campus and a French campus then?
I think in my mind, maybe because French is much older in the building, it's always more, it looks more gray in France, a bit more like, it's usually older and they've got this kind of grayish color. And in France, in the States, or what I can see, you know, it's very big buildings, very white, very bright.
Mm.
And we don't have that. We are more like bricks and grey and, you know.
Mm. So the
so the
campuses in the States don't have that sense of history, and they're big and they're bright and they're new. And they're on TV because that's how you relate to them too. All right. So they're really like in the public eye and they're bright and they're big. And it's interesting that you say they're bright because you described the girl there at the beginning of the dream as someone who in waking life was very, always looked on the bright side. You actually used the word bright side. So you've got a correlation between the girl that looks on the bright side and the universities that are nice and big and bright compared to the grayer looking French campuses. So we've got this sort of start of the dream of, oh, something kind of new and big with learning potential and maybe a little bit media orientated, I don't know, with the TV, but very public, something public and bright and looking on the bright side. And that's the beginning of the dream. And we're going to go in from there. So the dream always reflects what's been happening in the last 24 to 48 hours. So we're going in at, we're processing the 2 days that you had 2 weeks ago. And it's starting off with saying, okay, I'm actually feeling like there's something new in my life. It's kind of like a learning opportunity, not necessarily study, but, you know, personal development. And it feels bright and it feels good and it feels new. But the first thing that I'm going to face is sometimes what's behind that feeling of brightness and hope. And you described this friend in waking life actually had low self-esteem. And in the dream, you were hard on her because you accused her of she would do anything to attract attention. So there's kind of a link there that people... I guess, you know, some people with low self-esteem hide in a corner and don't attract any attention at all. And other people with low self-esteem, like, I really don't feel good about myself. So I'm going to, associate myself with someone else or do something else that's going to make me look bigger and better and brighter. And that's going to sort of solve my self-esteem problem, that kind of, you know, thing there, which is what you accuse her of at the beginning of the dream.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a sense at the beginning of the dream that she's going to steal something from your bag that you didn't know what it was in the dream that she was going to steal.
I think it was my phone.
Your phone, okay, your phone. So
it's not exactly her stealing it, it's her sending somebody else. While she's talking to me, yeah.
That was right, yeah, somebody else.
She stole in my back and steal it, yeah. Just as distracting me a bit, yeah.
Right, so that's quite interesting because she was distracting you while someone would come round from your back, as you said, to grab your phone.
Yeah.
And then later on in the dream, you were talking a lot about the importance of where your back was facing. Your back was facing nothing, the window.
Yeah.
And then at the very end of the dream, you left the campus through the back door. So we've got to kind of focus on the back here as well, which we'll come back to. So there's that feeling at the beginning of the dream. Your bag, your phone is what you use to stay in contact with people and to make connection.
True.
And in waking life, the last time you saw her was when she left France, and you said she's actually bad at keeping in touch. So there's a kind of a connection there too, yeah. So at the beginning of the dream, when you have a really strong emotion, Adelaide, like you had with her in the dream, like you were hard on her, almost angry kind of in the dream, that can be when you're bringing up an emotion that you have actually pushed down, you know, repressed a bit yourself, and it's been coming up a bit in the last couple of days, and it can break through in a dream much bigger, you know, more dramatically than you actually felt it. But it's usually a really, really good thing. You know, you're usually releasing an emotion that you haven't really admitted to yourself too much. So your emotion in the dream was really a kind of almost a disciplined anger about a combination of losing contact, of losing the phone, of having it stolen from you, of having something taken away from you, and also this feeling of someone using you to make up for their own self-esteem problems. So because everyone is in a dream as a part of yourself, I'm not saying that you're like that, but I'm saying that what this is highlighting is that an issue that came up for you to experience in the couple of days before the dream was an issue around self-esteem and around public image and around whether you would or would not align yourself to somebody else or something else to make yourself feel bigger and brighter.
Yeah, well, I think it was around the time where my sister was on holiday, and we tend to have this relationship together, where she's the brighter person. She's very smiley and, you know, a very easygoing person, kind of people usually like her at the first contact. You know, she's very, very easygoing like that. And I'm a bit of the dark horse. I'm the one that kind of, you know, I'm hiding away. And when I was a kid, especially, I used to feel that she was using me and the fact that I was much more shy than she was to look better, because she was always more smiling than I was, you know, always more joking and stuff, so it was easy to look good compared to me, just standing there and not saying anything.
So that correlates with the dream, and that's very well observed. And so you would have felt as a child that you, because she kind of used you in that way, it made you feel dull, even though you weren't dull. It made you feel that, in a sense. So with your sister staying with you the last couple of days, it was bringing up all that old stuff.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Mm. So how would that connect, although we've got a lot more of the dream to interpret, how would that connect with the actual friend who left France, you know, the one that doesn't stay? Is it just because she tended to be bright, or do you feel, well, I suppose we've got it with the low self-esteem. Now, we've got that there. So you've got this feeling at the start of the dream of what you were doing was releasing your anger, I think it was, really, Adelaide, over, you know, many years in your childhood when your sister had taken away the light from you, and her recent visit had really brought that back, only because you are now, your own personal and spiritual development is so much more evolved than it was back then. You're really beginning to understand that now and ready to release that emotion, which you did in the dream.
Yeah, exactly. I think the connection as well with the two is that this old friend is from the village where I grew up with my sister, so they knew each other as well. So maybe there's a geographical link.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because people will often come into our, we picture people in our dreams for so many reasons. And one reason is that they can take us to location as well as everything else. So this feeling that you had in childhood of, my sister tends to use me to make herself look brighter, probably because your sister actually had self-esteem problems herself, is something that came up again in the last couple of days because she was staying with you and is being processed in this dream to the extent that you are beginning to let go of that. But one issue that comes up around this is that feeling of what this has done is it's like having my phone stolen. So in other words, it's like my ability to communicate is something that has been threatened over the years because of my childhood and my sister and my relationship. So where perhaps I can imagine you both being in a family situation, or visiting friends or being at school and your sister answering the questions for you or explaining things and leaving you with a feeling of, well, I can't really speak for myself or I'm not communicating in the way that I would like to communicate, that kind of feeling.
Yeah, when I was a kid, yeah.
When
we were being chubby. not so much when I was only with my family, but because I wasn't shy with my parents or my brother, for example. But if we would be in public, and we used to be in public situation quite a lot because my father is a butcher in a very small village, so you know everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
So it's more in those kind of situation where we would be going to events that my father was attending, and people would like address us and say, "Oh, hello, you're the daughter of this and that," and then she would definitely go in the conversation first, and I would just like send back a bit.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So that also makes sense of why, I know we've got so much more dream to get into, but that makes so much sense why your dream started with the idea of the campus in the States, because, as you said, it's newer and it's open and it's very public. You said it was like a very public campus, and you see American campuses on TV, which is very public airing. So again, it's that feeling. It's reinforcing again that the feeling for you was there were no problems with communicating at home. But once you were in public, particularly with your father being the butcher, the local butcher, you being a high profile family for that reason in the village, you had problems or difficulties expressing yourselves or communicating because your sister didn't let you. So now, without even looking at the rest of the dream or asking you what's happening now, you would predict with a child like that, like you, that there were two ways you could go in your life. One would be to stay shy and to have difficulties communicating. And the other would be for you to say, well, I'm not going to accept that. I'm really going to get out there and I'm going to be very public and I'm going to be a communicator, I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So, but we go back to the dream here, and what I love is that you get rid of the emotions. So what we're saying was whatever happened with your sister in the couple of days before the dream, it did bring up this old stuff and you did actually start to release that in the dream. In fact, you released it a lot. And because when you had a go at her, the girl that was stealing started to cry in the dream.
Yeah,
now, if everyone in the dream does represent something about you or your thoughts or your beliefs, so this means that the part of yourself that has allowed yourself over the years to have your communication abilities stolen from you was crying in the dream, was letting go of the tears, of the grief, of the sadness about that. Because even though as a child we feel, oh, look, I can't speak out because my sister's doing it all for me, there's still that sense as if you had been a really, really, really powerful child, you would have spoken anyway. Something in ourselves, it builds a belief within ourselves of, oh, I can't communicate. I'm not the bright, shining, smiling one. I'm not the communicator. I can't. And so there's that builds that belief in you that you haven't got a phone. You can't communicate. It's a part of yourself that steals from you. And particularly in the dream, you had your phone in your bag. Your bag's like where you keep your really personal stuff, your credit card, your purse, your money, the stuff that really, your identity card, the stuff that represents you. So it's that feeling that there's a part of yourself in the dream that is finally expressing grief over, yeah, look, I've been kind of stealing my own identity a bit in the past. And so it's great that you decide in the dream that when you kind of notice the crying. And anyway, you then go to across to a building and you go to the second floor. Any idea why it was the second floor you went to?
No, really, I don't know.
The second floor. Sometimes, have you ever lived on the second floor? Does the second floor have any personal significance for you?
Yeah. When I was living in Paris, I was on the second floor. That's the only time I can. And lately in London as well. Actually, I was living on the second floor. So I lived twice on the second floor.
So you lived twice on the second floor. So this may and in that time when you lived in Paris on the second floor, was that a time when you were finding it difficult to communicate in public?
No, I was fine by this time. I was okay.
Okay.
It was when I was studying journalism, so I was improving.
Okay, so you were studying journalism at that time, so you actually chose to study communication.
So you may have been the
child that thought, right, I'm not going to accept this. And another aspect of that is I'm not going to accept being second. You know, your sister being the first one and being the smiling face and putting you as second. So going to the second floor could also relate to that as well. Anyway, you go to the second floor and she's running after you and you're walking backwards and you fall from the second floor. So how did you feel? Do you remember how you felt in the dream when you fell? I know that sounds like a silly question, but do you remember how you felt?
That's the thing. I don't think I felt much, actually. I remember not feeling much. I didn't feel sad or I didn't feel like, oh, crap, I'm falling, you know, I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, it was pretty much like, oh, well.
Good.
I'm falling.
Oh, well, I'm falling. So it was an acceptance?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was much more like that. I wasn't angry or crying or happy. It was more like, well, it's happening now. I'm falling. So, you know, I might as well go on with it. I can't do anything against it.
That's great. Okay.
So.
Now, you may have felt in childhood that, you know, there's nothing I can do. I may as well go against it, but that's with it. But I don't think that that's the interpretation of the dream. I think what you've got happening here is a feeling of letting go, of going with it, of acceptance. As you say, you didn't feel angry, which you had felt earlier in the dream. You didn't feel sad, which you had witnessed the girl feeling the grief earlier in the dream. So it's almost like you'd worked through the anger, you'd worked through the grief, and now you were just letting go.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's why you fell, to my mind, it looks like that's why you fell into the cleaning room. Because if you're letting go, it's like, right now, we're going to clean this up, you know, like we'll clean up all the old stuff, we'll do a clean sweep, something along those lines. And you didn't die, right?
No.
So although that question later on came up in the dream, which we'll talk about, with you saying, oh, I better go out the back door because people will get a shock because they think I'm dead. You didn't actually die. You lived on. There is life after acceptance and letting go.
Yeah, very true. But for me, the funniest thing when I woke up about me falling from the window and actually walking up the stairs to it is that I'm very scared of heights. And I can't even stand on a chair without being all, you know, crying basically, because I'm so scared. So it was very hard for me to imagine that I would ever walk to a window and just walk backward to it and just fall like that, because I would stay probably a good 2 meters away from it.
So you just brought out that number two again there. You said another, I would stay 2 meters from it. So this number two is quite significant. So we might also think that this may relate to, well, your sister was there for 2 weeks, but it might also relate to 2 years ago as well. But yeah, that was really funny. But you didn't know that in the dream you weren't frightened of the heights at all.
No, not at all.
So in the dream, there's that feeling too, because you did actually, although you were walking backwards, you did walk to the open window. And a window is, if you were facing the other way, a window gives you a view. You know, you look out of a window usually to see a view. and the window was open. So it's more like at this point in the dream, because you've let go of the anger, you've let go of the sadness, or you've acknowledged those, it's almost like you now have a new open perspective, a new view. It's almost like the anger is like thunder and the grief is like rain, and it's thundered and it's lightning and it's rained, and now you have a clear, fresh view and you're accepting and letting go and going in to clear and clean things up because you land in the room. And then the cat comes along and licks you. And he said, which part of your body did the cat lick?
I think it was my face, actually. I think it was pretty much like in Catwoman.
And the cat is like the cat that you actually have.
The funny thing is that the cat that I have is basically a cat squatting my flat, but it's not my cat. It's just a cat that likes to come in my flat and think it's his flat, but it's not really my cat.
Oh, right.
But it was like her.
Mm. Yeah. So the cat reminded you of a cat that doesn't really belong there but feels like it does.
Definitely.
So there's that feeling in the dream of when I was a child, I didn't feel like I belonged with a bright smile and in public and being able to communicate, but now I do.
Because
in the dream, you've got this really close contact with the cat, and it's almost like, so it's a part of yourself that you're getting into contact with, and he's licking you on the face, so it's almost like you're facing something about yourself which you're bringing in board. So it's a sense of this cat represents something, a part of yourself that does know where you want to be and is ready to, you know, to identify that place or to identify not a physical place, but you know where you want to be in the world, and you're ready to just march in like that cat does in your waking life and say, yeah, this is where I want to live, this is where I want to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very, very similar.
So there's a part, then we go on to the second part of the dream where you leave the campus by the back door in case anybody had a heart attack because they would have thought you were dead.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of feeling of acknowledging yet again that something, it's almost like something has died, something has ended, but you've lived on. It's almost like there's a shock, a sense of shock there. Someone might have a heart attack because they think I'm dead. So there's that feeling of half acknowledging that you've had a shock because something has changed within you. But death isn't what you think. It's not the end of something. You've actually got new life. You know, you left, you actually said that when you went onto the poor suburbs, which were kind of old and homeless, it was like a dead area and there was no life in that. And yet when you were there, you found the place that you wanted to live, where you wanted to have life.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's very, very, very like hit by the recession kind of area, you know, everything's closed. Yeah, no soul in the streets. Mm. Just really, really few sad and desperate people. Very poor.
Very poor. Yeah. And yet in the middle of that soulless, poor, empty area, you saw a house that you wanted to live in and take it as it was.
Yeah, and it's funny because I don't know if I point this out, but the real estate agent was really like, you could see she was uncomfortable with the fact of just being standing there. She just wanted to run away and, you know, not be there at all. She was, you know, she was not enjoying being there at all. She just wanted to finishing. And she was actually surprised herself that we would be interested. Well, maybe not so much, the other person who was with me, because he really looked like a homeless. But more at me, she was really surprised at why would you want to live there at all. And she was keeping on.
No, go on.
I was just going to say she wasn't doing a very good job actually as a real estate agent, because she was just keeping on showing me all the wrong things within the house. Like, look, the wall is falling, and look, there's a thing there. And so she was basically doing everything for, you know, she was trying to make me change my mind and say, well, this is really not a nice house. You don't want to live there. And I was completely ignoring her.
Yeah. so she's a part of yourself that was trying to persuade you not to choose to live in this place. But the person that was you in the dream was actually really keen and quite happy about the thought of living there. What was it, do you think, that you felt would be good and soulful and happy about living there?
I don't know. It's just the feeling that, first, there was the feeling that I wanted to live with my old friend for a long time. We wanted to live together, and it was just a moment where we could do it. So it just felt good to move in with him. Mm. And it felt a bit like, it's probably not going to sound too good about me, but it felt like the house was my house. It felt really like this was the kind of house I wanted and where I should be. That's where I belonged, and it was just the right place.
Mm. I love it. I absolutely love it, because this homeless guy that you're with, that's kind of looking tatty and homeless, was someone that in the dream was someone that you felt that you'd known for a very, very, very long time. He was very familiar to you. So he's a part of yourself that it's been around for a long, long time, but that you'd lost connection with. And you've only recently got the feeling of, there's this part of myself that I've lost connection with, you know, like not had the phone for all this time. And now I've found him at last. And this is where I want to be. And the feeling that I'm getting from this is it's almost like, you know how when you were little and your sister, as you said, would have the bright, happy face, and this is me, and hey, hey, everybody, and I might be drawing on, you know, on Adelaide here and using her a bit to make me look so bright and cheerful, but hey, this is where it's all happening, and kind of made you feel bad about not being smiley and bright, you know, like an American campus making the French campus feel bad about not being shiny white and new.
Exactly,
and this is a feeling in the dream. It's like you're coming home to yourself at the end. It's like being, I don't have to be false and bright and shiny if that's not how I feel. You know, it's okay for me to feel maybe not old and tattered and broken as in the dream, but it's okay. It's okay for me to have these less bright and shiny feelings about myself. You know, this is okay. Yeah. This is what I like. You know, go on.
Exactly. It's like the atheist agent wouldn't get that. She wanted bright and shiny, basically. And she was a very good argument for it. And I was just looking at the house and, thinking, there is holes in the walls and it doesn't look nice at all. And I can't say that the area looks nice because the area was really, really bad. But I didn't mind at all. It just,
Because it's like, it's wonderful to be happy all the time and to have really positive emotions. And if that's how you feel. And I guess that's where we would like to be most of the time. But if there are emotions in the way of that, if we have our own sadnesses, our own griefs, or our own outlooks on life and our own melancholy, even though I'm not getting my tongue around the word, there are some times when it is good and valuable to explore those feelings. And sometimes we can't know the joy if we don't know the sadness. You know, there's that feeling. And so there's almost that feeling of maybe being with your sister, of that feeling of being robbed. And there we are with that kind of stealing from the bag again, of being robbed with expressing feelings of, well, you know, I actually want to tell you today that I feel sad, or I want to tell you today that I feel this, or I want to tell you today that I feel that. That sometimes when you're with someone that's bright and cheerful all the time, it's like they're not there for you to hear those things that you sometimes just want to be, you want to communicate, because once you've communicated them and expressed them, they're gone and you've got the bright sunshine again. But if you're in a situation where you cannot express those things, then the smiles and the brightness are false because it's just putting a face on something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, definitely.
So there's that feeling in the dream. It's like, oh, in the dream, you express the anger. In the dream, you acknowledge the grief. In the dream, you let go. In the dream, you allowed change. You kind of allowed the death of the old, and you kind of rose from that, cleaned things up, and then said, okay, my new approach is more the, I'm okay with, sometimes older, more, less bright feelings about life. I'm okay with all of that. I'm okay sometimes with feeling that the glass is not half full, but half broken. You had the broken glass in the dream. That was a feeling I got when you said that. That's somehow like the half full broken glass, but I'll work that out later. I'm okay sometimes saying, hey, my glass is not only half empty, but it is also broken. And I'm feeling a bit broken. And if I can express that and get to the bottom of why I can express that, then I can let it go. And then, hey, the smile that's on my face is then genuine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the feelings I'm getting around your dream and that wonderful realization at the end of the dream. And you sort of mentioned the house that was a bit falling apart, and we love it. I love it. It's falling apart. I really like this. There's holes in the wall. It's falling apart. I love it. So to me, that's like sometimes I feel like I'm falling apart, and I love that I can express that. Sometimes I feel that maybe now that some of my old beliefs about communication and expressing myself in public, those are falling apart. And hey, that's great. I love it. And there's holes in the walls. Yeah, the old walls that I used to have up about maybe defense or this is the structure of life as I know it. There's holes in those walls. And I love it because this is all changing now. And I'm going to now come at life from a different perspective. I'm going to say how I feel, or at least whether I say it to other people or whether I acknowledge it myself, I'm going to explore those feelings because that is the path to true happiness, to true joy, to true feeling myself. And as a, I don't know whether you're still working as a journalist, but having studied communication, I can explore maybe stories about people and I can write about them in ways because I have been to places which allow me to empathize with them. Is this making sense?
Yeah, well, it's very, I like the part when you're talking about the walls because, I did build some big walls around myself for a long time. I can be pretty defensive so it's just funny to think that there's starting to be holes in my walls.
Yeah. So if you think about those walls that you used to have around you that, you know, and being defensive, are they still with you a bit, or how long ago did you begin to notice that?
I noticed it for a very long time. I think I noticed it the most when I started really to be a teenager and start having friends.
Mm.
Because obviously they noticed that on some, you know, I could be very defensive sometimes, very hiding anything away. Not everything, because I can be quite open.
Mm.
But I can sometimes, you know, really keep things for myself. And, you know, it's quite hard sometimes to know exactly what I'm thinking or feeling. And
yeah.
And I can be quite like that, very interesting.
So that's really good to know that about yourself and to see that in the dream, because the dream is almost then saying, well, maybe sometimes I used to be defensive and hold in thoughts about myself which weren't as happy and bright as my sister. Because, you know, we were on public show in the village and, you know, it was not right to show that. And my sister, everyone loved my sister for her big smile. So I had to, you know, maybe I should be like her and hide these other feelings and kind of, you know, not tell people how I feel. And that's, as you say, where the defensiveness came in. And, you know, as you also say, you began to notice that when you were a teenager. So you've been working on that and releasing it. And it's almost like this dream prompted by your sister coming and staying with you for 2 weeks has really just like cleaned out the last of that. And it's, yeah, okay, right. The walls are coming down now. and the walls are coming down to not having to be a bright, shiny, brand new American campus kind of person. I can actually be a beautiful French history, historical campus with all the wonderful life experiences that go with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So have you got any questions to ask about that before we move to a dream alchemy, Adelaide?
No, I was just wondering, maybe, I don't know if it's just a suggestion. Could it be that about the old man, the one that my Trump friend and I was wondering because I moved back to France only a few months ago, 3 months. It was 3 months before the dream.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering if it could be something like linked to France, you know, even though coming back to France was quite hard for me because it was more of a work choice and not like a personal choice.
Mm.
But I was wondering if it could be something like representing the fact that I was coming back to France. Or, I don't know if that makes sense.
Mm.
If you see what I mean.
Yeah. Well, it could well be. The dream always tightly reflects the day or two before the dream. But of course, only being back home for 3 months, you're still processing a lot of stuff with that. Did your sister came over, did she come over to visit you from where you had lived before 3 months ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she.
No, she came from Normandy, where I come from.
Okay. So she.
I was in London before.
You were in England before. Okay. So she was coming from a different place. So you've gone back to France as a career choice, not as a personal choice, and you're still not sure about all of that. Mm.
Yeah.
So what you're saying there is that you've put your career as a higher priority than your personal choices for life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we then go back and say at the beginning of the dream, there's this idea of your phone being stolen and the communications thing. I know, I feel there's a connection there. You know, you're in journalism. You're still in journalism?
No, I'm in a client relationship.
Oh, okay, so you're not.
Client management.
Right, so you're in client relationship, which is does require putting on a bright face sometimes, does it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you've put a career that has, I'm sure, has all sorts of wonderful things in it, but includes putting on a bright face when you don't feel like it. You've put that choice over your personal choices for yourself.
Yeah.
And so that living in France for these last 3 months where you're still settling in and adjusting to that has also brought up this dream of processing some of those issues.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I get what you're saying. What you're saying is at the end of the dream, is the end of the dream is settling for the kind of old place. Is that settling for being in, are you saying is that settling for being second best, like settling for being in France?
No, I was more wondering because you said about the old man that he was somebody that I knew from before and somebody that was coming back to me or something like that.
Yes.
So I was wondering if it could be like a picture of France or me coming back to France and so coming back to him.
Yeah, okay. If you feel that, then it may well be that the male in the dream will often represent your male side. You know, your which means your outer world as opposed to your inner world.
Very good.
Yeah, so it's more like your male side is your career. So it's almost like coming back in a sense. See, it's funny. Your dream suggests that you are now comfortable coming back with your male side. It's like, yeah, this is a career. I feel comfortable with this in the dream. This is something old and familiar. But you're telling me that they're in something new, client relationship. Is there something about your job now that relates back to something old and familiar, apart from France?
Well, yeah, I was doing the same job in the UK. I've been doing that for quite a long time, so the job is not new.
Okay. So, but there's something that the man in the dream who represents your outer world does represent something familiar to you from a long way that you haven't been in contact with. So it might be settling back into France. He's homeless in the dream. He doesn't have a sense of home.
Yeah.
When did you first feel in your life that you didn't have a sense of home?
I think it was the first time I moved to the UK.
To the UK,
probably.
Okay.
Well, it's quite hard because actually it's after a while in the UK, when I was in France, I never really, really felt home that much. I always felt, because of the feeling a bit different from other people, you know, it's just, I think to feel home, you need to feel comfortable with yourself. Well, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
And so I never really felt, obviously Normandy was my home because of my family and my parents and everything, but not like somewhere where I really belong.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to the UK, the first few months were really hard because I didn't know anybody, I had no friends, and you know, so I felt really like very lonely and not at home at all.
Mm.
But after a while, I felt more home in the UK than I did in France.
Mm. Right, okay. And you still feel that a bit now?
Well, it took But that's the thing, because I moved to another part of France, which is not where I come from. I'm on the Riviera now. So, no, it doesn't feel like home.
Mm. So that,
it feels like being.
Mm. So there's a sense in the dream then of you're actually really happy to find this homeless man in the dream. You yeah. like that. So the dream has a happy ending. So it's kind of almost like, I know what it is. It's beginning to come to terms with that feeling of, you said, loneliness in a strange place. You know how we're talking about the whole overview of the dream as being, I don't have to put on a bright face all the time. It's important to explore the underside of things, because that is the way then to let go and to actually have a genuine bright face rather than the bright face I've got to pretend to have. And so it's the same with this sense of homelessness. You know, you had it when you first went to the UK, then you began to settle in. You've had it now on the Riviera before you're settling in. It's almost like, instead of trying to hide that, instead of trying to think there's something, the people are judging me because I'm not one of them, I don't belong, it's that feeling, oh, okay, look, I've got to just become comfortable with this feeling. It's okay to have this feeling. It is okay to have this feeling. I don't have to put on a bright face and say, yes, I belong here. You can be like the cat in your waking life that goes, oh, I don't belong in this house, but this is actually where I want to be. I choose this, right? So you can have feelings of not belonging somewhere, but within that, you still have the choice of, okay, I acknowledge my negative feelings or my difficult feelings that you might have judged as negative but are not negative. Just, I acknowledge my down feelings about not fitting in, about not belonging. But like that cat I know in my waking life, I can actually go, hey, actually, where I want to live, where I feel I want to belong is here. And it doesn't matter to me what all of you English people or Riviera people think about me. It doesn't matter whether you think that I belong here or not. It's where I want to belong that matters.
Yeah, but, yeah, it does make sense. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah.
So it's that sense of, just as you, you have had an awareness of judgment from other people, just like when you were a child and your sister was able to smile and get them all loving her, and you kind of then judged those people as thinking that you were not the smiley, happy one, you know.
Yeah.
So it's that same feeling. It's like, don't take on the judgment of other people, because if you imagine what other people are judging about you, then you won't ever have a sense of belonging. We each decide ourselves who we are and where we belong, and it's up to other people what they think about that. So and you got that with a real estate agent in the dream. She said, "Oh no, you don't belong here. This isn't where, you know." So she's like a part of yourself that's saying, "No, you can't choose where you belong. You've got to belong where people think you should belong."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
So if you kind of think about that in relationship to settling into France now, it's more a case of maybe it's not the geography, you know, maybe it's not whether it's Normandy or the Riviera or the UK or even a campus in the States. It's not the geography. It's what's in your bag, you know, like the phone in your bag. It's your personal identity. It's what you feel about yourself and where you want to belong. And so rather than thinking, oh, did I do the right or the wrong thing coming back to France, or did I do the right or the wrong thing leaving the UK or whatever it is, think, where do I want to be in sense of what people do I want to interact with? What do I want? Where do I want to feel comfortable? You use that word a lot. And you, the real estate agent, you mentioned that about her in the dream. You said she didn't feel comfortable. She wanted to get out of there. You know, where do you want to feel comfortable within yourself? You want to feel comfortable not having to put on a bright, cheery face if that's not how you feel, etc., etc. So it's more about the superficial question, or the question which may occupy a lot of your time now, is, oh, should I be in France? Did I do the right thing? Da, da, da. But it's actually a deeper question. It's, how do I feel about myself, and where do I want to be within myself? If you get that right, everything else is right.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's going to be honest. Yeah.
Have you got any other questions about the dream?
No, I think that was the main one.
Okay.
No, I think that's it.
So if we move from there to do a dream alchemy practice, which of course means that for everybody listening in case there are people listening in and this is the first show you're listening to, a dream alchemy practice is where we interpret the dream, And then once we understand that, we say, well, is there anything that this dream tells us about the dreamer that the dreamer would like to change? Because if there is, we use a dream alchemy practice, which is a way of playing around with the symbols of the dream to reprogram the unconscious mind so that it works better for you. So if in your dream, Adelaide, we say, what is it about the dream, now we've interpreted that you feel that, is there something there that you feel you'd like to move forward into your waking life? Is there something that you've understood from interpreting the dream that you would like to really bring into your waking life?
Yeah, I think it would definitely be the sense of the judgment, not so much of others, but how the way I interpret the judgment of others, and for example, feeling dark and boring, and you know, feeling you know, not thinking that you always have to be smiley, and you know, these things like that. Yeah, but it's more, yeah, how I would interpret the judgment of others.
Okay, I get it. So that's really fantastic. Let me just think how we would do this. So what we want to do then is we want to really increase that comfort that you already had at the end of the dream, which is, yeah, this is the place I want to be. I'm comfortable with feeling dark sometimes, or with having to be bright. I'm comfortable with those feelings. And then to combine in that, we want to combine the feeling of not being concerned about the judgment of others. So what I'm thinking is, yeah, what if we do something as, would you like a visualization, or would you like a writing exercise or an artwork for this?
Writing exercise would be,
yeah, I thought you might as a journalist. Yeah. Okay. So what I'm going to get you to do is, you know, it's always most powerful to work with the modality that, you know, that comes easiest to you for dream alchemy. So what we really want to do is, I'm going to get you to do two writing exercises, actually. One will be a dialogue, and that's to help you gain further insight. And the other one, I'm going to get you to write just for yourself, a one-page story. And it's really just for yourself, and I'll explain what it is at the minute. And it is just for you. But if you get to the end of it, you think, oh, that's pretty good, you know, feel free to think, oh, I'll publicize that. I'll use that in some other way. Our dreams can really, really do wonderful things for our creativity. So the first one will be a dialogue. And I think what I'll get you to dialogue with is the broken half glass at the end of the dream. Because what a dialogue is it's where you get a piece of paper and a pen, or you get your keyboard and the computer, and you turn your phones off for, say, 10 or 20 minutes. It's not for very long. 10 minutes is good. 15 minutes means you're probably spending too long on it. And you basically have a dialogue with the object from your dream. And you go type or write as fast as you can. And I'll tell you exactly how to do this in a minute. And if you, as long as you write or type very, very fast without thinking about what you're writing, your unconscious mind will do the writing for you. And what you're doing in this dialogue exercise is communicating with a symbol from your dream, in this case, the half broken glass, and letting your unconscious mind tell you more about what it actually means to you. So the dialogue is done more for a sense of getting you more insight in your dream about your dream symbol. But sometimes when you do, and that's enough to get that, but sometimes when you do a dialogue, particularly if you're a writer, you'll find that you will actually get some kind of alchemy and healing happening in the dialogue as well, because the half broken glass will explain more about what it is, and some kind of magic will occur as you write it, by which it actually begins to heal. So if you could just write down for the moment, because I don't want you to think about this until you do it, because it's a no-brain exercise, but just to jot down, Adelaide, that when you do this dialogue, it's going to be you talking to the broken glass, and then you know, about a sentence each, turn around, you speak a sentence, the half broken glass speaks a sentence, you speak a sentence, and so on. And it starts with you saying, you're a very attractive broken glass. Okay. You're a very attractive broken glass. Now, don't start thinking about it now, but when you do that exercise, just let the glass answer, and then just let the dialogue go from there and see what happens. So, right. So for the other thing, for the one page story, what I'd like you to do is write a story as if it's for, a child, and I'll let you decide the age of the child, whatever feels right to you. So it's a bit of a fairy tale in plain, only in plain English. You can either write it in French or English, whichever feels right to you. But you know what I mean by plain English. Keep it basic. Yeah. And it's a story about, it's called I know this sounds really funny, but it's called The Homeless Dark Room. I know that sounds really weird. Like, it's like, how can a room be homeless? But it's called The Homeless Dark Room. And because you're laughing, I know you can do it. And of course, the point of your exercise is to really use the symbol of the dark room in your dream to bring out what you just said to me, which is to bring out that feeling of, it's good for me to be in this comfortable dark space when I want to be there, and to feel totally comfortable there regardless of the judgment of others. So those are the issues that you want to bring into this children's story.
Okay.
So you're doing the alchemy. You're doing the story, as with all good children's story, is about a transformation of the dark into the light. In your case, that it's okay to be in the dark, and the light that comes out of that is it's bloody okay to be in the dark, and judgment of other people has got nothing to do with that.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, have you got any questions about that?
No, fine. One dialogue, one story.
Yeah, okay. And let me know personally how you go with that and what you get out of it. I'd love to know. And if at any stage you'd also like to share either what you got out of that, or you know, some way down the track to share what has transformed and happened in your life as a result of all of this with our podcast audience or with our blog audience, let me know, and I'd love to share that with them. But otherwise, please do share with me so that I know what happened.
Yeah, sure. I'll definitely do it.
Thank you so much for sharing a beautiful dream, Adelaide, with us today.
Thank you very much for your listening and your good advices and interpretations.
It's a pleasure. Well, I'm sure that you got heaps of insight out of that to apply to your own life, as well as lots of ideas about how to interpret dreams. Isn't it wonderful to sit in on a dream interpretation and to hear the dreamer respond? And it's something that I have been very honoured to experience myself in almost 20 years now of being a dream therapist, a dream analyst. These are just titles, but you know, what I actually do is sit with people, whether that is face-to-face or by phone or Skype or internet. But during, you know, that, as I say, the almost 20 years, the number of dreams that I've sat with and watched people's faces and voices and listen to their responses as the dreams have really opened up a deeper understanding about themselves and their unconscious mind and their lives. And it's been such an honor to witness not only people get those huge ahas, although they weren't called ahas when I started doing this work. And more than that, it's been a wonderful experience for me. And of course, is ongoing to watch what happens to people in their lives as they progress with the dream alchemy and begin to experience the shifts in their lives as a result of doing the dream therapy and changing some of those unconscious beliefs that haven't been working well for them and just gaining that deeper insight into why their lives are the way they are and how they can now shift and change in wonderful ways. So it's a wonderful journey for me, and I'm sure that you listen to the show every month because you get that kind of feeling too. So enjoy. The next show will be out. I've got it here somewhere I have lost the date. Anyway, this one is the 21st of October. So if you can add 4 weeks to that, sometime in November, it's probably the 18th or the 19th of November, something like that. It's a Friday. That's when the next episode comes out. Meanwhile, have a lovely month, and I'll talk to you for another episode of The Dream Show then, sometime in November. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.